Extremism and violence are part of daily life in Afghanistan. Today brought another example. The story actually begins in Alexandria, Virginia. Ghulam Haider Hamadi was working as an accountant there 4 years ago. Then he heard from a longtime friend in his home country of Afghanistan. That friend was Hamid Karzai. The Afghan president asked Hamadi to be mayor of the turbulent southern city Kandahar. Hamadi accepted, though, as he told us, he understood the dangers.
One day we have to die. You will die in the U.S. by cancer, by car accident, by some other reason, and you will die in Kandahar by bullet or by bomb. What's the difference?
Today, Hamadi died in Kandahar by a bomb. An Afghan suicide bomber killed Hamadi as he was meeting with tribal elders at his office. Sarah Chase advises the U.S. military in Afghanistan. And Sarah, you lived yourself in Kandahar for many years. I wonder if you can tell us what you believe is happening there right now, because it was just 2 weeks ago that President Karzai's half-brother, who was a power broker in Kandahar, was killed. Kandahar's police chief, as you know, was killed a couple of months ago, and now the mayor of Kandahar. What's going on?
Just to be clear, this is my own personal view based on my experience of Kandahar. And the first thing that I would say is that it really seemed like everybody else was getting killed, but nobody really close to Ahmad Wali Karzai was getting killed. This apparent impunity gave people in that inner circle a real arrogance, and you would see them throwing their weight around. And I definitely have a feeling that there's a sense that the spell is broken. Whoever killed Ahmad Wali Karzai, the impact has been, someone described it to me today as though an eggshell had broken and the egg is no longer protected. So you saw almost immediately another Karzai insider was killed in Kabul and now Mayor Hamadi.
Well, what happens then to the perspective from some in the population anyway and some on the outside that, for instance, the mayor himself, who was killed today, that this is a man who was in a sea of corruption, perhaps more honest than some of those around him, and that he was doing things that were fighting on behalf of some of the people there, trying to bring in normal city services and send back some of the vendors who had overtaken property, even though that would get many, many people very angry.
What I got overwhelmingly from the people that I live with and their friends is that there was an enormous high-handedness that Hamadi successfully marketed to us as, you know, upholding the laws of Kandahar. But in fact, what he was doing was engaging in a campaign for the last couple of years, a campaign of evictions. And that meant, yes, clearing vendors from streets. And in the case of the last couple of days, he was bulldozing houses. And in fact, two children had been killed the day before yesterday, I think, when a bulldozer was plowing into a house.
Well, what was the reason for the bulldozing?
His claim is that these were government lands, and in many cases they were. But the point is that in the case of a market that he had bulldozed, the small shopkeepers who had their shops in that market had purchased those shops or had been paying rent to the city. There was no procedure developed to deal with those legitimate claims or legitimate grievances.
Then what's your best advice? And I know you're speaking here as an individual. You're not speaking for the Pentagon. But what is your best advice for the Pentagon? Is this a time to try and reach out more to the citizens of Kandahar, if possible?
I think in general, and this goes for U.S. foreign policy writ large, if you look at the Arab Spring, for example, or you look at Kandahar, our tendency at first is to default for stability because, you know, reaching out to the population is complex, it's dynamic, it's volatile. Decision-making in a more democratic system, frankly, is messier than it is when you've got a strong man, be he Mubarak or be he Ahmad Wali Karzai. But it's my personal view that long-term stability is actually better served by solutions that may look a little bit messier in the short run because they offer an opportunity for people to make their grievances known, to have them redressed, and to vent some of their frustrations, honestly. And frankly, if there aren't channels for doing that in a nonviolent way, people have a tendency to get violent.
Sarah Chase has lived in Kandahar, Afghanistan for about a decade. She advises the U.S. military in Afghanistan, and she's the author of the book, The Punishment of Virtue, Inside Afghanistan After the Taliban. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you.
We profiled Meir Hamady in 2009. You can listen to that story at theworld.org. And you can also find an audio slideshow of the life and death of another activist in Kandahar. Sitara Achakzai left a comfortable life in Germany and ended up fighting for women's rights in Afghanistan. Hear her words and witness her activism at theworld.org.